Welcome to the Deep Dive. Today we're taking a bit of a detour, actually, into some unexpected territory. Forget the usual quarterly reports or dense technical papers for a moment. Our source material for unlocking, well, peak efficiency and maybe even systems design, it comes from an excerpt of a children's story. It's called The Magical Self-Packing Backpack.
Yeah, it sounds whimsical, doesn't it? But honestly, these simple narratives, they often distill some really profound organizational truths. Maybe prepping for a complex meeting or managing a huge project portfolio, or maybe just trying to feel less, you know, overwhelmed by everything coming at you. This story offers a surprisingly powerful framework.
Absolutely. So our mission here is to kind of strip away the fairy dust, if you will, and pull out the scalable principles, the genuine nuggets. We're talking about efficient preparation, the responsibility you have for maintaining a system, and maybe conquering that paralyzing feeling of being completely swamped. And we're using the story of this kid, Milo, and his, well, magical backpack as our structure for this dive.
Right. And the initial scene, it just sets the stage perfectly for that feeling of professional overload. We meet Milo the night before school starts, and the vibe isn't cozy at all. It's pure chaos.
Yeah, the story uses really effective imagery to get that stress across. You hear about books stacked like wobbly towers, crayons rolling off into who knows where, and his backpack, the actual tool he needs. It just sat slumped in the corner like a tired turtle. You can almost feel Milo just staring at it, paralyzed.
That imagery, it's instantly recognizable, isn't it? For anyone facing a complex deadline or a messy project, those wobbly towers, they aren't just books. They really represent the cognitive burden of having disorganized information everywhere. It's like this visual cue screaming at your brain. There are too many separate tasks here, and you don't have a clear process. And that feeling, that loss of control, is what kills productivity.
Okay, so right into that chaos, enter the solution, the helper emerges, the backpack starts to wiggle, it talks, and it even stretches its zipper mouth into a smile. This is basically the moment automation steps in, right? But what seems crucial is how it automates things.
Exactly. It's not polite or gentle about it. It's, well, aggressively efficient. The backpack doesn't carefully tuck things away.
Mm.
It gobbled up notebooks like pancakes and slurped crayons like spaghetti. Now, for our listeners, this kind of represents the ideal for certain automated systems, swift, total absorption of high-volume routine tasks. Think about using AI maybe to process tons of unstructured data or deploying standardized templates for every single report you have to do. The goal is just to ingest the raw stuff without needing human intervention for every little bit.
That makes sense for, you know, high-volume inputs, but here's where I see a potential mini danger. Doesn't relying completely on this magic risk making people dependent, making Milo or, you know, a professional in their job, neglect the basic discipline of keeping things tidy in the first place.
Ah, that's the critical tension. Absolutely.
Mm-hmm.
But the source material, interestingly, it immediately pushes back against that fear. It does this by stressing prioritization even within the automation. Amidst all that gobbling and slurping, the backpack catches his sneakers with a big whip. And it chuckles, shoes first, in case we need to run.
Right. Okay, so what does that specific little detail tell us when everything else is just being vacuumed up instantly? Why the shoes? Why is the ability to run the kind of foundational escape route secured first?
It translates directly to securing the non-negotiables in any complex situation. Your fundamentals. Before you start optimizing for pure efficiency, you know, gobbling up all the secondary supplies, you absolutely must secure things like business continuity or legal compliance, maybe physical safety requirements. So if you're launching a new product, the shoe's first step isn't deciding the color of the marketing website. No, it's securing the funding. It's getting the legal paperwork locked down. It's making sure that if the whole system somehow collapses, your primary function, your ability to operate safely or just operate at all, is still intact.
Hmm. Okay. So that reframes automation. It's not just a replacement for thinking, but it's a system that has to rely on pre-programmed, high-stakes priorities. So once those foundations are secure, what level of detail does the system need to handle to get to, like, true comprehensive preparedness?
Well, this is where the story moves beyond just the school checklist into the more holistic picture. The backpack actually tumbles into the kitchen, and it makes sure lunch gets packed sandwiches and an apple. This shows the system recognizes that, you know, sustained performance needs fuel. It needs sustainability actually built into the design. You can't just run on empty.
But the really fascinating detail here, for me anyway, isn't the food, which is practical, obviously. The source makes a point of highlighting that the backpack also packed a tiny note Milo's mom had written. Now, that's not a logistical item at all. That's pure context, isn't it? Emotional context.
Exactly. That's it. True organizational readiness, real preparedness. It isn't just about checklists and data points. It's also about the emotional and relational context that actually fuels performance. For a leader, say, this tiny note is the equivalent of maybe acknowledging your team's hard work publicly, or ensuring psychological safety, or even just providing specific positive reinforcement before they tackle some high-pressure deliverable. It's the human element.
So you could have a technically perfect project plan, everything executed flawlessly, but without that note, without that emotional piece, the system's kind of brittle, it lacks the human factor needed for real resilience. But how do you scale that seemingly small emotional detail across a huge organization?
That's a great question. You do it by institutionalizing acknowledgement, by building it in, making sure your systems, whether they're project management tools or just your regular meeting structures, actually carve out space for recognition and positive connection. That tiny note, it ensures Milo knows he's supported and valued. And that probably reduces his anxiety way more effectively than just having the list of supplies checked off ever could.
And the immediate payoff really validates the whole system, doesn't it? Milo wakes up the next morning, no wobbly towers, no fear, just the backpack, quote, neatly waiting at the door, packed and ready with a proud little bounce.
Yeah.
So the system, once you fed it correctly, delivers actual peace of mind.
Yes. The stress that was tied to the task inventory itself, it's just gone. Eliminated simply because the structure is now in place and working. It completely shifts the mood, doesn't it, from dread to maybe even anticipation.
Okay, and the ultimate proof, the real test of preparation, comes when the system has to perform under pressure. When something unexpected happens, we see this play out at school, the teacher asks for pencils, spontaneously. And the organized backpack just demonstrates its value right there. It unzips with a flourish, a ta-da, and hands Milo the pencil with a wink.
That ta-da moment, that instant, effortless retrieval. That's the goal of all really good system design, isn't it? It's that ability to shine when there's a crisis or some unexpected demand, precisely because you secured the essentials first and you accounted for the context. Think about maybe navigating a complex merger integration. The preparation you did beforehand ensures that when that unexpected due diligence request suddenly lands on your desk, The organized system delivers the necessary data instantly. It lets you focus on strategy, not on scrambling around trying to find things.
Right. And the overarching lesson the story provides really brings us back from all the magic to, well, plain old personal responsibility. The explicit finding is stated as, Milo learned an important trick. If he helped his backpack by keeping things tidy, it would always help him back.
And this is basically the principle of reciprocity, but applied to systems ownership. So what does this really mean for you listening right now? It means your organizational tools, your dashboards, your software, your team structures, whatever they are, they might be intelligent, but they need consistent quality input from you. If Milo had just kept letting those wobbly towers build up, the backpack, even the magical one, would eventually fail or become less effective.
The system needs maintenance. You kind of enable the magic of automation or just smooth functioning by accepting ownership over the quality of the input. Tidiness isn't just some chore. It's really the necessary cost you pay for efficient output later. If you provide clear data, if you define clear instructions, if you maintain some structure, the system responds optimally. It guarantees that proud little bounce feeling and helps you genuinely feel ready for anything.
It's really the difference between, say, organizational outsourcing, just throwing the problem over the wall, and organizational partnership. You can't just dump all the complexity onto the tool or the system or even your team and then just walk away. You have to ensure the underlying environment, the input, is clean and maintained. When you define the rules of engagement clearly, then the system can perform aggressively and effectively on your behalf.
Okay, so as we wrap up this deep dive into organizational wizardry, maybe let's pull out three core takeaways for everyone.
Yeah.
First, recognizing and actively eliminating those visible symbols of chaos, the wobbly towers, in your own world, that's probably the fastest route to reducing mental clutter and stress.
Second, effective systems, our magical helpers, they really operate on a principle of reciprocity. High-quality automation, or even just reliable processes, they demand foundational, consistent, high-quality human input. You have to define and maintain the rules of tidiness, basically.
And finally, comprehensive preparation, the kind that includes both the practical stuff and the contextual human stuff, you know, the sandwich and the tiny note, that's what enables those instant ta-da moments, those moments of effortless success right when you need them most. It elevates routine execution into something that feels more like effortless performance.
Mm-hmm. And the source material notes that this kind of preparedness makes even chores can feel like an adventure. So maybe consider this provocative thought as you approach your next complex set of tasks, whatever they are. How can you start adopting the mindset that those small, maybe routine acts of organization, things like structuring your meeting agendas clearly, standardizing your reporting formats, or simply taking a moment to give your team targeted recognition and spend? How can you see those not as boring admin work, but as actually laying the groundwork for, well, magical ease? For effortless success in those high-stakes moments that really matter later this week or next month, give your system a clean foundation, keep it tidy, and honestly, it will return the favor 1,000-fold.